You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
How it reflects on how I write my music now. I write a lot of love songs. Like, we're basically write pop death metal record. Like, our writing style is very, you know, verse chorus, but it's still like a metal record, you know, very like pop music oriented, mixed with the extreme side that, you know, I got from my father. So
hey, what's up, Vox and Hops heads? I'm Matt, the vocalist of Cryptopsy and the host of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, brought to you by Sound Talent Media, where I sit down with fellow metal musicians to talk about their lives, music, and craft beer. I hope you guys have been having a great week. I hope you were with us last night at this month's live interview Thirsty Thursday virtual hang. I had an absolute blast, and it was a true honor to be back with Brittany Slays of Unleash the Archers. She is an absolute gem of a human, and I always have a blast whenever we hang out. And she was a perfect guest for a live interview at Thirsty Thursdays. I love Thirsty Thursday virtual hangs, and if you have not come to one yet, you absolutely should, because it is a group of amazing humans, and I am super stoked and honored to have them in my life. Before we jump into today's episode, I would just like to encourage you to follow the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast on the podcast platform of your choice. But more than that, I'm asking you to rate it and write a review, because when you do that, more people just like yourself will be able to discover the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast. You should also sign up to the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast mailing list. You could do that on my website, voxandhops.com. That's voxandhops.com. And when you do that, you shall receive one email a week containing all of the details of everything that has happened throughout the past week in the world of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, including all the details for any episodes which I've dropped throughout that past week. If I've been a guest on someone else's podcast, you will also get the links to any upcoming live interview Thirsty Thursday virtual hangs, as well as the links to the Brutal Awakenings playlist, which is available on both Apple Music and Spotify and is curated by my man Jerry Monk, the metal architect himself. Do yourself a favor, sign up to the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast's mailing list. Trust me, this is a party that you do not want to miss. Now, on today's episode, I'm with a vocalist of a band that I adore. An absolutely hilarious human. He's got a podcast of his own. This is Vox and Hops episode number 248 with Josh Richter of Bather.
I warn you, what you are about to hear is very disturbing indeed.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Today I'm with Josh Richter of the band Bather. He also hosts the Riffing Ain't Easy podcast. How are you doing, Josh?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
Very, very good. It's nice to be with you. Excellent story about how I discovered Bather. I have to give a shout out to the Vox and Hops metal architect, Jerry Monk himself. He is an amazing human from Texas who sends me just countless excellent suggestions of bands on a daily basis, just about. And in November, I received, you know, Phantom Guilt, and I listened to it, and I was immediately hooked from the intro of that first riff, the just hooked, loved it. And then I was just always disappointed when it was over, so I started it again, and I started it again, and I reached out because I wanted to have a chat with you. So how are you doing?
Good, man. I appreciate the love that you guys have been throwing to Bather, man. That's it's wild, because like whenever you messaged us, like we love Cryptopsy, but we're a big Cryptopsy band. Like, that's our shit, man. And so it was wild. Like you said, we're like, no way, dude. Like, for real? Like, you know, the kind of thing. So it's wild, and we appreciate it. You and Jerry both, man, have been just very, very cool to us, man. So that's rad, dude. We appreciate you for sure, man.
Let's dance into a classic opening question that I've been doing for a while now. Tell me about how you coped with the glorious year of 2020.
2020 was wild. Dude, it was so awful, dude. It was dog shit, man. It was bad. Luckily, so I got like laid off from like my just my day job. So I had a bunch of time. So I just started a bunch of projects and stuff. You know what I mean? So I started Riffing Ain't Easy, and dabbled in it a little bit in late 2019 and 2020, but I didn't really dive super hard into it until the COVID stuff started happening. We couldn't play shows, you know, as a band. We were just like, you know, what are we going to do? So we we were putting out content as far as like video goes, and luckily we had the record that we were that we recorded before it happened. You know what I mean? So that actually was a kind of like a step up for us, because we were like, all right, sick. So we can release this record and use this time off to really push like stuff on the internet, you know, like photos and video, really get that stuff down tight. So we did like a lot of planning, but since no one was playing shows and we weren't playing shows, and you know, we kind of just like, well, what are we going to do on the off time of that too? You know what I mean? So like I started like other projects and stuff, but dude, it has been wild, because it's just, time just goes and you forget. And you just, days just start blending in together. You start looking at yourself. You're like, hell, I'm getting fatter and shit now. You know what I mean? It's just like, none. Like, what's going on? You know what I mean? And it's just, it's been rough. But thank God that my band, we're super safe about the COVID stuff. Like, we get tested regularly just so that we can do.
That's amazing.
Band stuff. Yeah, dude. Like, we have to, because we're going to go crazy if not. You know what I mean? So, I mean, hell, we even just this past Sunday, we started the very, very early stages of writing our full length.
Excellent. That makes me very happy, dude, to hear.
Yeah. So we were just like, we might as well take advantage of our downtime and get that ready. You know what I mean? But dude, yeah, as far as like coping with it is just staying busy. You know what I mean? Staying busy with projects. The band is, you know, everybody in the band has like a part, I guess. You know what I mean? As far as social media or any type of artistic, like Trey, our bass player, is a graphic designer, so he does a lot of our graphic design work, almost all of it. And like for our video stuff, I do video production stuff, so I'm able to like do all of our video work. Even our music video was shot and edited by us.
That's amazing.
So everything in-house. Is in-house, and it's, yeah, man, it's like years of being I guess like kicked around playing in local scenes and stuff. You kind of have to do your own work, you know what I mean? But yeah, we've been staying busy, man. Just, yeah,
idle hands, you know. So best to keep them busy. And
absolutely, man,
doing it all yourself is absolutely, you can't blame anyone except for yourselves if it doesn't work,
right, dude? Yeah. And it's the game anymore anyway, you know. I'm sure you remember back in the day, like, what you could do as a local band was go staple flyers. That was the deal. Staple flyers. But then, you know, MySpace came and it was that whole era. And then it's like, well, we have access to do so much more. We could do video. We could do our own photos. We could do a lot of bands do their own recordings.
That's,
you know,
correct.
What I mean? So it's like, damn, dude, like, kind of take it into your own hands. So no one's really at fault. If you're not doing anything, it's because you're not doing anything, you know.
It's true.
And I hate to say it, because I have bands that I'm friends with, man, that are just like, man, COVID really killed us. And it's like, no, you killed you. You know what I mean? It's like, and it sucks, man, because I've seen a lot of good bands just kind of disappear over 2020, just especially local bands that were just promising, just killing it, dude. And they just kind of just gave up. And it's sad, you know?
Yeah, if you're not going to hustle, you're not going to get anywhere. If you're not going to put the work,
dude,
in, no one's going to notice. And
right,
you're not
right.
going to stay in shape. So I hope at least they're
right.
practicing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's another thing. Right. Yeah, that's definitely a big... Yeah, and as vocalists, like...
Oh, yeah, if you don't use it, you lose it.
It's a little... Yeah. Yeah, it's weird because, like, I remember burning through a month and a half long tour, just killing it a long time ago. And then we got off tour and took, you know, a break. And it was just like a short break before we practiced. And we started practicing again. And it's almost like I forgot.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's like 3 weeks, 4 weeks later, I'm just like, what am I supposed to do again?
Yep.
You know what I mean? And it's wild.
Yep. Yeah, it happens to me all the time.
Yeah, it is. It is an instrument. And it's, despite what some people might not think, man, it is definitely an instrument and a muscle. You got to work out. You have to. So I definitely agree with you.
Vox and Hops is all about hanging out with my metal friends, talking about their lives, music, and craft beer. Now, you're not drinking a craft beer. What are you drinking there? And open up about all that, please.
Okay, so we have a local coffee shop here in town in Chillicothe, which if you drink coffee, I'm going to send you some. It's really good. It's a place called Roast Coffee. And it's funny because like people know I have a real good sense of humor, and I post it on Instagram because it's a Christian-based coffee shop. And so I posted like, hey, I'm doing a podcast with one of my favorite, like my favorite, the vocals, my favorite death metal band, but I'm going to drink Christian coffee while I'm doing it, kind of thing. It's a Brazilian blend.
Go ahead, I should have drank my satanic tea that I have.
Right. Dude. Yin and yang. We're twins. We're twins, bud.
Pitch Black North Tea from Calgary, Alberta. They're super cool. I got some here. I really do.
That's so sick, dude. That's so good.
Keep going. I'm sorry.
And I'm not a... No, you're fine. And I'm not like a coffee snob, so... Usually, man, honestly, I drink just straight dog shit coffee, like whatever I get. And like, this is like, I got this, like, I'm going to get something a little special because this is a cool event. This is cool. And I really like, you know, want to do something different. So I went and got this and I'm drinking it. And I'm just in my head, I'm thinking like, it's just coffee, right? And I drink it and I'm just like, God damn it, dude. It's good. Like, I'm not going to lie. It's so good. And I realize now it's like, well, I should probably switch over because that other stuff's kind of. Good coffee is good coffee, dude. And you don't really realize it. Same with like beer, like with craft beer. You don't realize until you drink these craft beers and you're just like, holy shit. Like there is stuff outside of, yes. I got home from work because work sucked and I'm drinking a Miller Lite. You know what I mean? It's like, you forget that stuff. But yeah, roast coffee, bub. It's good stuff here in Chillicothe, Ohio.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Now, why do you not partake no longer with alcohol?
Oh, I do. I'm just taking a little break for a second. Because your boy got a little COVID, you know what I'm saying? Like got a little wild in COVID and just drank a ton. And I got to the point where I was drinking on my podcast and just saying real dumb shit. So it's like I gotta rear back a little bit. But yeah, I just got to the point where I was just like drinking a lot and I realized that like, man, I'm doing it because I'm bored. And I was like, I need to take a little break, So I'm going to try to take a little bit of a break, see how long I told everybody I was going to do a year, but I also overshoot literally everything in my life, so I'm going to see if I can do it. But I definitely am a fan of beer. I'm a beer guy. I like beer. Like that's definitely my drug of choice is old booze, man.
On my side, I'm drinking something special because I love Bather so much that I had to bring in a little Valentine's Day themed beer. This is called Love Dust, and this is a three-way collab between Echo Session Ales, Microbrasserie Broadway, and my friend at the BAOS podcast, the great Craig Thorne. I love him to death. This is a very special beer. This is the second year that they've made it. This is a Session New England IPA. It is very light, clocks in at 3.9%, and it's special. It's basically, last year I called it the Ramstein of craft beers, because as you're about to see, there's quite the show when you pour it out, but it's still a good beer because, you know, it was getting a lot of hype because of all the show that's about to come, but the beer is good. So let's see if this year's holds up. I'm sure it does because their brewer, JF Legency of Echo, is a wizard. I love him. I love what he comes up with, all these sessionable beers. He only makes sessional beers and they still feel like real beers. So let me crack this and pour this out. There's a technique to doing this. I'm going to have to put my mic down, but it's going to be worth it. So as you can see, they print the can upside down. So you got to flip it. You got to flip it at this point. And then you got to give the can a little swirl. There are red glitter in this beer, so it spirals around and it swirls and it's super cool. The color is gorgeous. It's delicious. Cheers.
Amazing. It makes me want one real bad.
no, don't do it. You can do it. It's still got that same hop build from last year, which was the Sabro Galaxy Vic Secret and Calypso hops. It's got a little bit of lactose in it to give it some body. It's delicious. A mild coconut bite there from the Sabro. Very cool. Everyone check out Love Dust. It should be the beer you drink on Valentine's Day with your lovers. you used to work at a brewery you were mentioning.
I did, yeah. That's actually, that beer itself fits the theme really well since every Bather song is legitimately a love song. So that's perfect, dude. That's perfect. It really is, too. So that's very, very good choice, man. Yeah, I worked at a brewery. It was in Jackson, Ohio. I want to say it's a little bit west of where I live, about 45 minutes from my town. And I worked there for a little bit, and they were just starting up. It's called Sixth Sense Brewery. And that was the first time I ever really got into tasting like craft beer. I never really got into it because I didn't know about it, you know. It's one of those things where almost you kind of get introduced to it, I feel like, because you don't know it exists, really. And so I met the people that were opening it because they were going to hire me for photography work. And I ended up working with them through different projects like their screen printing company. And then I worked a little bit at the brewery. And that's when I first got the taste of that stuff, and I'm like, this is like totally different, because I'm at the time I was like 26, 27 years old, and I'm like, I'm used to just drinking Rolling Rock and smoking 2.5 packs of cigarettes, you know what I mean? Like that was what I did, you know what I mean? So I started drinking this beer, and I was like, man, so this is the kind of beer, this is the kind of stuff you drink because you want to taste it, not just to slam it, you know what I mean? And it was wild, because I started to develop like a palate to where I realized there's certain things that I like and certain things that I don't. And before, I never really had that, because you don't really get that with just regular domestic beer. It's just, that's just what you drink. You
know, it's cold.
There's certain things that
it's refreshing.
Right, exactly.
And it gets
exactly.
Drunk.
It's cold. Exactly, dude. And I agree with that statement 100%, because that's what it does, you know. And then you start to, you know, find these the finer things, I guess, you know what I mean? And it's like, wow, like some of this stuff tastes different with like different things you eat, even, you know. And I mean, I, you know, it's classic of white wine drinkers. They know that, like, to the point, you know. And you start trying these different types of like beers, and it's like, wow, like, so this does taste better with this, and following this, and like, don't mix these two, because this one's not going to taste as good as it should be by itself, or stuff like that. And I really lean towards the citrusy lighter beers. Like, I love citrusy beers and like sour beers and stuff like that. And that's probably my go-to. I'm not real big on like the heavier beers, like the darker beers. That's a little bit too much for me. But as far as like the lighter beers go, like that kind of like lean towards like the citrusy, like summer type of beer for sure.
One Hit Thunder is a podcast where we both celebrate and have a good laugh about bands and artists that had just one hit that we all know. Each week, we're joined by a guest from the world of music or comedy to learn more than you ever thought you would about some songs that you can't forget. And we decide if they brought the one hit thunder or were nothing more than a one hit blunder. Look, if you listen to the show, you're probably going to laugh, and I guarantee you're going to crush next time the bar has music trivia. Tag Team, Jane Child, Meredith Brooks, Looking Glass, Sean Mullins, Eiffel 65, EMF, Crash Test Dummies, Crazy Town, Chumbawamba. We have hundreds of episodes in our back catalog and a new episode each week, so pass the Dutchie, make sure you're connected, and subscribe to One Hit Thunder wherever you get your pods.
Excellent. Let's dance into the soundtrack of your youth when you were growing up in your parents' or guardians' house. What music was playing when you were not in control of the radio? What music did your parents or guardians listen to?
Oh, man. So that's a really cool question. I like that question. So I grew up being in Southern Ohio. It's very, I was born in 86. So I grew up through like the 90s. So like the early 90s, the neo traditional country music era. So you have like your Dwight Yoakams and your Brooks and Dunns and stuff like that. So I grew up with a lot of that neo traditional country stuff, man. So like that really kind of helped me develop as far as writing goes, like lyrical content and phrasing and stuff. Like, and then I grew up, you know, that was on my mom's side. So I grew up with a lot of country from my mom. And then, like, I have the metal from my dad. So my dad was the guy that would get home from work on Saturday and we watch Headbangers Ball.
Oh, that's
like the
so
original
cool.
Headbangers Ball. Yeah. Like, I remember, like, one of my favorite stories I tell people is, like, I remember when Pantera debuted the I'm Broken video in, like, 94. And I want to say it was on Headbangers Ball. And I was like, what is this? You know what I mean? What is this shit? Because I've heard Pantera before from like the Cowboys from Hell and the Vulgar Records, but I haven't seen Phil do Phil shit. You know what I mean? And I loved the Walk video, classic, everything. But whenever I'm Broken came out and Far Beyond Driven, I was like, dude, like I want that. I want that. You know what I mean? And I was like, kid, you know, 94, I was only a kid. So I definitely grew up with like the Panteras and like the Megadeths and Metallicas, the standard, you know, your growing up metal bands. I did like, I liked a lot of AC/DC and like stuff like that, which I genuinely still love. Hair metal, big hair metal guy. I fucking love hair metal, dude. I love hair metal, man. And like that country stuff. My mom liked a lot of pop music too. So I think that kind of really rounded like my writing style, because then whenever I became a teenager, I found bands that were my bands. So like Deftones and stuff like that. It's like, and it's funny because like how the Deftones wrote their records, especially in like that mid era, is kind of like how it reflects on how I write my music now. I write a lot of love songs. Like we're basically write pop death metal records. You know what I mean? Like, and it's like our writing style is very, you know, verse, chorus, but it's still like a metal record, you know?
That's true.
So
that's very interesting.
And like, yeah, man, very, very like pop music oriented mixed with the extreme side that, you know, I got from my father. So it's Yeah, it's really, it's kind of weird, but it's makes sense when you hear our stuff, you know.
I love it. I love it. How about that first show that you went to go see?
Very first show I went to. So outside of locals, right? So I would always hang around. There was this like this little punk house that I went to a couple shows with when I was a teenager before I could drive. My friend's mom would drop us off at this punk house, and it was called the Black Hawk. And it was just basically just a house that just, there was a bunch of teenagers just getting smashed and stuff. And I didn't drink at the time. I didn't drink or do anything. I didn't party. I was kind of like a square, you know? And I was like, this is scary. Like, this is crazy shit. You know what I mean? This is local hardcore bands and stuff. But the very first show that I went to that wasn't like a local show was, I seen Deftones. It was Deftones with like Godsmack and Puddle of Mud and CKY. Random.
Very random, Bill.
Very random, yeah. Actually, I didn't even know CKY was on that show until my friend Shep had posted a flyer last week from that show from 2000. And I was like, holy shit, I seen CKY and just didn't know who they were. You know what I mean? And but it was Deftones on there. They were doing the White Pony circuit. I think Godsmack was doing like their Awake circuit, which they were actually kind of good. I'm going to be honest with you. They were good. And I was a kid.
He's a good drummer.
Yeah.
Sully's a great drummer. I'll give him that.
He got on there and was fucking, yeah, dude, he was doing the whole drum thing. And it was actually cool, you know, it was sick. But then like what really hooked me was Deftones, though. Like I was a Deftones fan. I remember seeing, you know, the Bored music video on MTV's Buzzworthy back in like 97, you know. So like these are bands that like I worshipped music, dude. Like I was so weirdly obsessed with music that I got to the point where I got emotionally attached to these things. And it just developed my whole entire life as a child. Like whenever I got the first cassette tape I ever got, like that was mine, was the soundtrack to Last Action Hero, because Alice in Chains is What the Hell Have I was on, and Megadeth Angry Again, you know. And it's like, I was a kid, man. It was 1993. I was six. You know what I mean?
I love
so,
it.
Like, I was just fucking just so obsessed with this shit, man. And then I finally was able to do it as a teenager. Like, I'm going to go. And my cousin, her boyfriend, took me. And I still have my ticket stub to this day. I used to keep my wall and I got a little faded, but I took it out because it's bumming me out. It's starting to fade. But I seen Deftones and I'm just like, that's what I want, man. Like, that was my evolution from being pissed off, you know, Pantera Metallica kid to being like, now I'm a sappy, emotional teenager. Why don't she love me anymore? You know what I mean? So that's where it just all makes sense to me, man. But that was the first one. And I was it, man. I was in.
It's amazing.
I was fucking in.
I saw them on that tour as well.
Really?
But there was different bands from that cycle. We got Incubus and Taproot.
Oh, dude. Yeah. See, I would have loved to seen that because I was a fucking new metal teenager.
Me too. Yep.
Yeah.
Heavily.
Yeah. Word like, yeah. Chimera shirts and shit. I hate everyone on the back and everyone's making fun of me at high school.
Cryptopsy was already alive and ripping it, and I did not care at that time.
Didn't give a shit, dude. Didn't give one shit, man. Yeah.
I had to grow into it, and I'm glad I did.
I'm glad you did, too. I actually got kind of a, not to sidetrack, but I got kind of a cool story about like your, because you were the first record was Unspoken King, right? That was with you, right? So back whenever that record first came out, it was like 2007, 2008-ish.
That's exactly right.
My old band, back in the day, whenever you're starting out, you kind of like, you do the pay for play. You don't know selling tickets is a scam. You know what I'm saying? Like when you're not even from Cleveland. So we played in Cleveland. I think you guys were on the Summer Slaughter tour,
yes,
right?
Yes, we were.
Yeah.
My first US tour.
It was, fuck. Talk about a tour,
yeah,
right?
I was terrified.
Terrified?
Yeah.
That's wild, man. Because how old are you? Because you're like, you're close
to
my age, I think.
I'm 37, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm 34, so we're decently close in age. And I remember that record came out because I remember that old guy got out of the band and you came in and it, like, they changed their sound, dude. That record was like, what the fuck is this? You know what I mean? Like, and I loved those records before, but that record is what really was like, holy shit, man, you know? So John, the guitar player of Bather, was in my old band back in the day. So him and my brother, who was also in Bather at one point in time, we sold tickets to get on the Cleveland show. We lived 3.5 hours away.
Wow.
South. So we're fucking selling these tickets. My fucking parents are buying tickets just to get us on the show.
That's
and
so
shit.
Cool.
And I was just like, dude, like I just, all I want to do is at least play on the same stage as like Cryptopsy and like Necrophages and shit like that. Or at least be able to see you guys. Because I think Beneath the Massacre was on it and some like other.
It was a cool.
That might have been the year
no,
after.
No, the lineup that I was a part of, Whitechapel opened the show,
mm-hmm.
which is just insane if you think about it. This lineup was insane. When all the bands went somewhere. It was Whitechapel that opened it, and then it was Psycroptic.
Yep.
And then after that, I believe it was Born of Osiris. And then after that was either the Faceless or Despised Icon, Vader,
yeah.
Cryptopsy, and
Cataclysm,
and Black Dahlia Murder.
Yeah, dude. Yes, that's nuts, man. And I remember I was like, I just want to play on the same stage as you guys. And they're like, well, you guys are playing upstairs in this thing called the Rockstar Lounge.
Aww.
I'm sure. Do you remember Peabody's?
I remember that exact show. We were all parked in the alleyway. I remember.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. So I was like, okay, that fucking sucks, but I get to see, you know, this new birthing of fucking the rebirth of goddamn Cryptopsy, you know what I'm saying? And goddamn it, dude, of fucking course, because I got that Richter luck. We played the exact same goddamn time upstairs that you guys did. They didn't get to see shit. And I remember looking over the fucking, there's like a little balcony kind of area or like a window. And I remember looking at you guys and you guys were already started playing. I'm just like, this fucking sucks. 3.5 hours. There was like 3 people there. My dad was staying there with like a case of water and shit. Uh-huh. Like, dude, so bummed.
If it makes you feel any better, we sucked. And
that's wild though, man. It was, and that kind of goes back to like being really stoked that you asked to, you know, ask me if I'd like to be on, because like I was so excited to tell that story. Like, I remember I called my parents. I went and seen them earlier this week and I was like, dude, I got to bring up this story because I remember that specifically because of like, that was like the first time I got to play a show where it was like, I wanted to see you guys with you being the new guy. You know what I mean?
Oh, well,
just got fucking butch.
Hopefully we get to do more shows together and you actually
absolutely
get to see us.
I would love that. I would love that, man.
You mentioned earlier that you guys keep a lot of stuff in-house, which makes a lot of sense why you guys are releasing this record independently. Was that a conscious decision because you know that you can do it? Did you try to get it out there?
So we shopped it out, and we, from past experiences, we had learned that we have an issue with when we were younger where we'd shop it out, a record, and someone would say something back to us and we'd hang on to it way too long. And then they got to the point where it ran its course. And by the time we did anything with it, it was just like, damn, we missed that window of being able to release something. And I think that we knew going in, like, this is going to be a cool record. It's different for us. We don't know if people are going to like it. The first EP was cool. And we got like a lot of good feedback, but we knew this one was different and we weren't really afraid of what people were going to think, but we were also kind of like, we don't know, you know, if people are going to accept it as much as they liked the last record. So we shopped it out a little bit, but we didn't want to wait too long on it because it was only 4 songs. So we were like, let's just go ahead and release it and see how it does after it's been released. And we released it and got way like crazy feedback considering we didn't know if anybody was even going to like it, let alone the positive feedback that we got from it. So it was definitely a conscious decision to self-release it. But we did shop it a little bit and kind of, we talked to some people, but nothing's worked out or anything. And we were like, well, the sooner we release this, the sooner we can get to start writing the full length. Cause we knew we were wanting to do a full length. We haven't written a full length. I don't think anybody in the band, especially like me and John, the other guitar player, have written a full length since like 2009, 2008. Yeah, man. So like, we were like, we can't just keep putting out EPs. And even if we have to self-release a full length, like we wanted to really get in there and do that full length. So we put that EP out and we're just like hoping that people dig it. So, but yeah, we definitely shopped it, but we didn't want to sit on it too long.
I dug it. I liked it very much. You know, what's very cool about that EP is the cover art.
Yeah.
Tell me the story about that. I did some research from digging through your Instagram and the artist that shot that is from Montreal.
Really? Is he really?
He is, and that blew my mind.
I didn't know. No, I didn't know he was from Montreal.
Yeah, so I reached out to him and I said that this is an amazing shot, and he didn't know about Cryptopsy, so he's not obviously an avid metal consumer.
Yeah.
But small world, very interesting.
Mm-hmm. What is his name? Sean, I believe is his name.
I believe you're correct.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Sean, he our drummer, the drummer Mike from Bather, he found him, and we were kicking around the idea of what like we wanted to do as far as the cover goes. And I shot a couple photos pre-recording of the record. As you know, like when you go into the studio, things change. So the vibe and the atmosphere completely can change to what you thought it was going to be before you even go in there. Even if you have the songs down completely, that's what we're going to do. And that's like a lot of that syndrome comes from where people are like, well, the demo syndrome or whatever, where people were sending demos like that don't sound good. And it's like, well, that's just because you were used to hearing a demo. So I was shooting all these photos and had these covers laid out, and it was very I Hate God, because in the mindset we were going is we wanted to make a more of a sludgier, like a sexy sludgy record. And so I had the mindset, I've been listening to a lot of I Hate God, a lot of Weed Eater, Typo, all those type of bands. I was really going through that, and I was like, well, I want to do something because I know these are going to be love songs, and I know these are going to be very intimate songs. And I was like, well, I kind of want to do something that's very kind of to that feel, very unsettling but also sexual, you know what I mean? It's some weird phase. I shot these photos with some friends that helped me out, and they didn't work. After we got the record, like after we recorded the record, we sat on the artwork and we're just like, it's not meshing. And Mike was like, dude, there's this guy I follow on Instagram, he does this really really cool, like just wild photos. And over the past like 6 months prior to that, we were just sending him like, this is insane, like he's a photographer, but he does like a lot of really crazy graphic design work with it. So there's a really cool blend of these things. And mine were just raw photos because I shoot like a lot of films. So mine were just raw. And he's like, we kind of need to do something that's going to fit it better. And he's like, what do you think about this? And send it to the group. And we're like, dude, that's it. Because it makes sense that with the woman that's dressed in like the red and everything. And it kind of just made sense. And we shot it, or we bought it from the guy, and we told him like, hey, this is going to be like a cover for the record. And then we put it on there and we listen to the record by like, you know, looking at it, and we're just like, this makes sense, man. Like, this is where it's supposed to be.
It does.
And it's crazy because that wasn't the idea at all, man. Like, it wasn't at all. And thank God we found it, because I feel like, one, Sean is an absolutely incredible artist. I could never do what he did like that. He really, and he set the tone as far as like a colorway that we were wanting to run with, as far as like the reds and like the, you know what I mean? And it's like a very, like, how can I explain it? It just makes sense with the music and the lyrical content and the mood. And it would just kind of happen by just, do you think this would work? And then it did, and it worked really, really well, man. And as an artist, I'm like, mine's better, but not really. You know what I mean? Like he fucking nailed it, dude. Thank God we didn't go with what I shot, because looking back now, it just doesn't make sense, man, at all. Sean is the best, and I mean, I see us working with him in the future for sure. He's incredible, and he just keeps putting out just incredible stuff, always, man, just all this stuff. And it's really, like, unsettling. There's a lot of very dark vibes coming from those art pieces, and it's wild, dude. But yeah, we decided that after listening to the record back when we got it, we're like, yeah, that makes sense, man. That's the one. That's the fucking one. That's what we want.
It fits perfectly. And, you know, who knows? I might not have clicked on that link that Jerry Monk sent me if I wasn't so intrigued, dude, by that artwork.
Absolutely. And that's, I think about that every day, man. I really do. Like, it's almost like in the scene of Pulp Fiction where he doesn't get shot by the bullet, so he just thinks about, what if I did, you know what I mean? So like, I think about that a lot, like, man, what if we did pick a different record cover? Like, would that not have resonated with people? Would that not have caught people's eye? Because Mike's like, we have to have bright colors, we have to. And that was his vision, man. And he found the guy. And it's funny because we were like sending stuff back forth to each other from his Instagram, because we were wanting at one point in time, I think, maybe hire to get some artwork done as far as like design work. But man, when he found that link, and it just made sense, man, those collars pop. And it we've gotten a lot of really cool feedback, and it's very humbling, because it's like, man, like, whew. Because I was kind of nervous for a second. We didn't know what we were going to want to do, and it was perfect, though.
And good for you as an artist to be able to step back.
Absolutely, man. You have to sometimes, you know.
For the good of the band.
Right, dude. And that's, not to go on a tangent with that, but I feel like a lot of vocalists of bands that are not very, like, humble, a lot of times they don't want to be that way. And that's bizarre, because it's like, this is a team, man. This is a group effort. You have to do it. You know, I admit whenever when we were in the studio, some of the lyrics and some of the vocal parts on the record, they were supposed to be a lot more clean vocals, a lot more. Yeah. And the guys were just like, it's not really working. This part's not working with that. You know, we had a part that was in the song that in, I want to say it's Phantom Guilt and Phantom Guilt. We have a part that's kind of like a torch, floor ish type of part. And I had a big, long fucking just deep, clean vocal, and it wasn't clicking. And it takes to, you know, when we did the demos, it did. But then when we go record, it wasn't working because everything was very metallic sounding. You know what I mean? It was a fucking metal part. And at first it was very like kind of stonery, but then after we recorded it, it was very, you know, had the more intensity that it wasn't really matching up. And the guys and plus Andy Nelson from Bricktop was just like, hey man, he's the best. I can go on forever by Andy, but he was just like, look man, he's like, it's that part's not working. Why don't you try doing your regular dirty vocals? And it made sense. And I had to step back because I was so excited about that part. I was like, I'm ready.
You got the demos.
I've been listening to a lot of Torch.
You got the demos.
Right? Yeah. I don't even listen to my record now. It's like, this is better, man. The EP is better.
Let's talk about podcasting. Riffin' Ain't Easy. Let's talk about why you started a podcast. What was the whole point of the podcast? Give everyone basically a pitch of what it is.
Okay, so Riffin' Ain't Easy, man. It's just... I've spent my entire life being so obsessed with music that I wanted to do something that was different, you know? And I like a lot of comedy-based stuff, like stand-up comedy and just comedy-based things in general, skits and shows and everything. Grew up obsessed with just comedy-based stuff, you know, watching SNL when I was a kid, watching Mad TV when I was a kid, because that was the pissed-off version of SNL, you know? It's kind of the rebels, you know? But I grew up with all this stuff, and my parents have a really good sense of humor, so I luckily kind of got that from them. And I've always wanted to do something that was comedy based. And whenever I first started doing Riffin' Ain't Easy, I was just telling stories of my childhood because I grew up from, you know, Chillicothe, Ohio. No one knows. The only thing we're known for is there was like six prostitutes that went missing a couple of years ago. That's about it. You know what I mean? So like there's this really stupid, like dark, trashy shit that goes on in our town. And I was like, I just want to tell some stories and just talk about, you know, growing up as just lower middle class kid in the small town and stuff. And I was like, but I wanted to call it Riffin' Ain't Easy just in the sense of like when you riff with your friends, just talking shit, you know what I mean? And I was like, kind of really is a really good play on words because anybody that knows me knows that I've been so involved with music that it kind of like feeds off each other. But I was like, but I don't want to do a music podcast because I just don't know if I have it in me to do that because I do so much more of that outside of that. It's like the only thing I've ever done. So I just went solo and it started out as just audio and then it kind of like picked up some steam. It's picking up a little bit of steam. It's not like crazy numbers or anything, but I've been getting a lot of good feedback and I just kind of go in there and just talk, man. It's just talk shit basically. And I tell stories and just talk about things that are like going on and just make jokes and stuff. And you realize you don't sound a certain way. And then people start pointing out that you sound weird compared to everybody else, I guess, that I don't know about. So I get that a lot. Yeah, but it's just a funny podcast where I just talk and just hang out and talk, man.
I love it, dude. Do you come in with pre-planned subjects or do you just seriously just riff?
I literally just riff, man.
That's amazing. Yeah.
That's why sometimes I'll go off on the whole, like this podcast is probably about 4 hours long already because I'll just start talking and I'll just keep going and going and going and going. It's kind-hearted stuff. You know what I mean? Like everything is so dark and so serious right now and it's, which I get it. I mean, you know, I understand why. It's rough. It's been really rough for everybody and I got a lot of really rough personal things going on in my life and so it's like a nice outlet where it's just like, I'm going to throw this out there and see if people dig it and have fun with it. Cause all I want to do is just have fun with it, man. I just want people to laugh and have fun and just listen to these stupid stories about how like my band got lice on tour and shit. You know what I mean? Like stuff like that. You know what I mean? It's just like really dumb shit.
Don't sleep at people's houses, even though you have to.
Right, right, dude. Right. Absolutely.
And always have someone sleep in the van no matter what.
Always. That's me because I'm like paranoid. So I'm just sleeping in the van with my boots on and shit. Yeah.
Just in case. You never know.
Just you never know. Never know.
Let's wrap this up with a classic wrap-up question. It doesn't happen to you right now, but it happened to you probably when you were overindulging. What is your hangover cure?
Oh, man. Okay. So for the longest time, my hangover cure was always Mountain Dew. It's way trashy and it doesn't fix anything. Mountain Dew in this... the trashiest food possible. I just eat like 18 Slim Jims and shit like that. And then I started like realizing the older I got, I realized that it's actually just my body not recovering. You know what I mean? It's just like, ugh. So my hangover cure now is I've been seeing people do the Pedialyte situation. I have not tried that, but that sounds really, really good. But the Gatorade, and then you eat pizza as fast as you can, and then you go to sleep and you don't wake up for like a day and a half. You just go to sleep. Don't talk to anybody. Don't get on your phone. Don't read your text messages. Nothing.
No, that's the
pop
worst.
Pop a couple antidepressants and go to sleep.
Don't look at your phone because you might have read your... You'll read your text that you don't remember writing from the night before, right?
I trade myself to where I delete everything before I go to sleep real quick. And then go to sleep. I ain't messing with this shit tomorrow.
Josh, thank you so much for taking the time talking to me about your life, music, and about craft beer and Christian coffee. I love it. Everyone, please check out Bather. I can't support them enough. I'm super excited about this new album in the works. I'm super stoked. Thank you so much, Josh.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate you, buddy.
Cheers. Hey, thank you all so much for listening right to the end. You know that I love and appreciate that. What an excellent human Josh was. I love Bather. I love that record. His podcast, Riffing Ain't Easy, is hilarious. I have put the link to that podcast in the description of this podcast. You should check it out. He is a funny, funny dude with a lot to say, and I love that. Thank you, Josh, for taking the time to have a chat with me. I can't wait till we can hang out in person and enjoy life and metal some more, my friend. If you enjoyed this Vox and Hops Metal Podcast episode, you should absolutely follow it on the podcast platform of your choice. But more than that, you should take the time to rate it and write a review, because when you do that, more metalheads just like yourself will be able to discover the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast. You should also sign up to the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast mailing list. You can do that on my website, voxandhops.com. That's voxandhops.com. And when you do that, you shall receive one email a week containing all of the details of everything that is happened throughout the past week in the world of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast. The Vox and Hops Metal Podcast is brought to you by Sound Talent Media. I hope that you have a glorious weekend. I am sincerely looking forward to hanging out with my family, going outside, taking in some of this warm spring weather, which has finally graced Montreal. And I am really looking forward to that. I wish that all of you get to do exactly the same. Sit back, relax, try to rest. It's important to recharge ourselves so that we can come back even stronger. I will be back next week with 3 episodes, but until then, remember to enjoy life, metal, and craft beer. Cheers, Vox and Hopsheads.
Hello out there.
Yes, we're out there, everyone. I'm Hal Schwartz.
And I'm Flynn McClain. Together, we host None But the Brave, a podcast dedicated to the music and career of Bruce Springsteen.
Bruce and E Street Band are on tour right now for the first time in 6 years, and we're taking a detailed look at what's happening on stage in our bi-weekly episodes.
We've also been recently joined by some very exciting guests, including rock journalist Warren Zanes and Stephen Hayden, Backstreet's Magazine founder Charles Cross, and Barstool's Kirk Menahan.
If you're a diehard Springsteen fan, this is the show for you.
So please subscribe to None But the Brave on your favorite podcasting platform, and we hope to see you further on up the road.
Thank you so much! We'll be seeing you!